This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. We begin by thanking and praising Allah, for He is most entitled of our praise and our gratitude. We thank Allah for all of His blessings that He has bestowed upon us and His gifts. We ask Allah for forgiveness from all of our many shortcomings and mistakes and moments of forgetfulness. We ask Allah for guidance, to be guided to that which is true and to remain steadfast upon the truth. And we ask Allah for protection from the evil around us and from the consequences of our poor choices. We bear witness that there is absolutely no one worthy to be worshipped except Allah exclusively alone, and we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last and final prophet and messenger. We beg Allah to shower our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with compliments and salutations, peace, mercy and blessings, and upon his family and his companions and all of those who follow his perfect tradition, his sunnah, until the end of time. In the Quran, in dozens of places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us and reminds us time and again to have taqwa of Allah, to protect ourselves from the punishment and from the anger and the displeasure of Allah. And we achieve that by fulfilling and doing what Allah has commanded and abstaining from that which He prohibited. Allah has blessed us to witness yet another amazing month of Ramadan, which is a month meant to train us and teach us to increase and develop taqwa. And if we can exit this month having increased in our taqwa, in our awareness and consciousness of Allah, then that would be a success. We ask Allah to make us of al-muttaqeen. The past few months I've been trying to focus on topics that revolve around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his life, loving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being loyal to his teachings, obeying and following and trusting and believing the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Perhaps some of you may have noticed that. It's been the tradition of scholars throughout the centuries that during the month of Ramadan they would focus their talks and their lessons and their teachings to the Qur'an, since this is a month of the Qur'an, and it is a month when we are expected to recite the Qur'an more, and it has always been a month closely tied with the words of Allah, the Qur'an, since the very beginning and first revelation of the Qur'an during the month of Ramadan. Is there a way that we can merge the two topics? Absolutely. Since the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our role model and our messenger and our guide, and since one of the objectives of this month is to renew our connection with the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ta'ahadul Quran," have a covenant, almost like you have a contractual agreement with the Quran. Be closely tied with the words of Allah. Since that is one of the objectives of this month, how about we observe and share how the Prophet ﷺ himself interacted with the Qur'an, with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we survey the different narrations that describe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam receiving the Qur'an, or reciting the Qur'an, or listening to the Qur'an, or explaining the Qur'an, the common denominator that you find in all of these moments is a deep, profound, emotional connection that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah never repeated or parroted or recited these words aimlessly or in vain or just in passing. He was always connected with what he was reciting. We look first and foremost at the recitation of the Prophet ﷺ. How did Rasulullah recite the Qur'an? How beautiful would it be if we could hear Rasulullah ﷺ reciting the Qur'an, and he is the one who received it. It was revealed upon him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us with the Messenger in the highest levels of Jannah, so we can experience such a joyous moment to hear the Qur'an from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salama, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, describes that his reading of the Qur'an, قِرَاءَةٌ تَفْسِيرِيَّةٌ. Just by the way Rasulullah recited, it was as if he was explaining the meanings of the Qur'an with his voice and with his intonation and with his pitch. And he would elongate the vowels. She said, كَانَ يَقْرَأَ الرَّحْمَانُ Ar-Rahim. He would stretch these vowels. And we learn this in the science known as Tajweed, a science that teaches us how to recite the Qur'an. But besides just a list of rules to hear and then follow, I want you to imagine Rasulullah stretching the vowels of these words. Why? Because he enjoyed and he loved reciting the Qur'an. Those moments and those seconds and those syllables coming out of his mouth were moments of deep enjoyment. It was not a chore for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. It was pure bliss and happiness to recite the book of Allah. I remember there was one scholar of Qur'an that I had the blessing of meeting, a very elderly scholar of Qur'an. And we went to go visit him in his masjid, in his school. And he had a habit, and he was known for this amongst all the people that knew him. As soon as he finished salah, and he used to recite very long and lengthy and slowly in salah, and when he would finish the salah, he would turn around and there would be a huge smile on his face. Even though, may Allah preserve and protect him, he had lost his eyesight, but he would sit there and be smiling. And people would ask him, every time you finish salah, you turn around and smile. He said, I just enjoy the recitation of the Qur'an so much. And when you would listen to someone like that, you can feel that they are enjoying the recitation of the Qur'an. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says that you could count the letters by hearing the recitation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How carefully and passionately he used to recite the book of Allah. Not only that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would recite regularly. And by regularly, I mean daily. Daily the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reciting the Qur'an. A convoy approached to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from a place known as Thaqif, Wafdu Thaqif. And in this narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stationed them in a particular place, close to the masjid and close to his house. He said, camp here and we will meet regularly. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to meet with them every single night and teach them the matters of their religion, because they came from afar. They would be there for a period of time, then they would leave. And one night, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was late to come out for this meeting with them. And so when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out, they asked him. They said, Ya Rasulullah, labithta anna al-laylata akthara mimma kunta talbath. O Messenger of Allah, tonight you came out later than the time when you usually would come out and meet us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, فَقَالَ نَعَمْ. He said, yes, indeed, you have observed correctly. طرأ علي حزبي من القرآن فكرهت أن أخرج من المسجد حتى أقضيه. He said, I had my daily portion, my daily devotional reciting of the Qur'an that I had not yet completed, and I didn't want to leave the masjid until I made up that reading. What a connection he had with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis. And here I'd like to pause for a moment. Because many of us struggle to understand the Qur'an. And many of us even struggle to recite it or read it in the language that it was revealed properly. And due to that, because of that seeming barrier, we recite the Qur'an less. And a common claim that you hear nowadays is, well, I'm going to recite less, but I'm going to understand what I'm reciting. And I don't want to recite anything except that I understand it. And at the root of this reasoning is something positive, which is the desire to understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I am worried, as our teachers taught us, that this could actually be a doorway of shaitan that causes you to recite the Qur'an less. So what our scholars taught us is they said, struggle and put in the effort to learn the meanings of Qur'an, but do not make that a means of diminishing and reducing how much Qur'an you recite. Even if I don't understand every word, even if you don't understand every word, recognize that the Qur'an, from every aspect and angle, is a blessing. Allah described it by Himself in the Qur'an as nur. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ نُورًا. It's light. Your recitation of the Qur'an is bringing light into your mind and into your heart and into your psyche, even if you are not intellectually understanding every word that you recite. Allah said in the Qur'an, about the Qur'an, that it is shifa, it is a cure. It is a means of cleansing ourselves from spiritual and physical ailments. The Prophet ﷺ used to do ruqya. He used to recite the Qur'an on people that were physically sick, had pain or ailment or fever, because the Qur'an is shifa. So realize that when you are reciting the Qur'an, you are infusing light into your mind and into your heart and into your time. You are increasing in the barakah and in the blessing of your time. One of the scholars was asked, how much Qur'an should I recite every day? He said, you should recite proportional to how much goodness you want in that day. You want this day to be successful and promising and beneficial and prosperous? How much do you want it to be beneficial and prosperous? Quantify that for yourself and recite the Qur'an proportional to that amount. So recognize that the recitation of Qur'an in and of itself is an act of ibadah. And it is an act of worship that Rasulullah used to do on a daily basis. And actually, it wasn't just one point of time in the day. His whole day and night was filled with the recitation of the Qur'an. Aisha, his wife, our mother, says, كَانَ يَتَّكِئُ فِي حِجِرِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَأَنَا حَائِضٌ. Aisha says, at night time, the Prophet was leaning in my lap. He was sitting that close to me, reciting Qur'an. And she says, I was in my monthly period. And from her fiqh, from her knowledge and her scholastic ability, she shared that detail with us to tell us that that is still permissible, as some people had gone to extremes in that period of time in the month. But we see Rasulullah is still close and intimate and comfortable in the privacy and the comfort and enjoyment of his home with his beloved wife, and he is reciting Qur'an in that situation. That tells us how much he loved to recite the Qur'an. Not only did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam love to recite the Qur'an, but secondly, he used to love to listen to it as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approached the companion Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and he said to him, Allah has instructed me to listen to you recite Surah Al-Bayyinah. This particular chapter in the Quran, Surah Al-Bayyinah, لم يكن الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب والمشركين إلى آخر السورة. And Ubay was moved. He said, Allah mentioned me by name. That's the first thing that shook him. And how am I to recite the Qur'an to you when it was revealed upon you? This is what Allah instructed me to do. And Ubay recited that chapter of the Qur'an to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he loved to hear it from him. Not only Ubay, but also Ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved to hear him recite. And the Prophet said, whoever wants to hear the Qur'an sweet and pure and perfect as it was revealed, then listen to the recitation of Ibn Ummi Abd, which is one of the nicknames of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And the Prophet came to him and said, recite the Qur'an to me. He came to him in the masjid of a particular tribe known as Bani Dhafir, and he said to him, recite to me the Qur'an. Ibn Mas'ud said, أَقْرَأُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَيْكَ أُنزِلْ. You want me to recite to you and the Qur'an was revealed to you? And the Prophet ﷺ said, I love to hear it from others as well. He loved to recite it and he loved to listen to it. Recite the Qur'an on a daily basis and listen to the Qur'an on a daily basis. The Prophet ﷺ also practiced what we call tadabbur al-Qur'an. He pondered and reflected over the meanings of the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him in the Qur'an, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. And Allah said, we reveal the Qur'an to you in that manner, وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا. Allah commanded the Messenger of Allah to recite the Qur'an one letter at a time, in a methodical and composed manner. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to do this and he would pause. There are different ways of reciting the Qur'an. Sometimes we recite the Qur'an to focus on quantity, like what we do in Salatul Taraweeh, for example. We want to read as much as we can in this short amount of time. But also on a daily basis, there should be sittings and recitations of the Qur'an that are focused on pondering. So pause, stop, recite one word or one phrase or one ayah or one section and stop. And go back and repeat it again. And repeat it over and over again. And ask questions. And search for clues. And look into the beauty of the word choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And come up with understandings that apply to your experience. I am not advocating that we change the meanings of the Qur'an. I am advocating that we read it in a personalized manner. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking and he heard an old woman recite, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ. Surah Al-Ghashiyah begins with Allah asking the Messenger of Allah a rhetorical question. Did you not receive information about Al-Ghashiyah? And the Prophet ﷺ, even though she wasn't talking to him, she was reciting, he overheard her. But he paused and he said, Na'am atani, na'am atani, na'am atani. Yes, I have received information of Al-Ghashiyah. And he repeated it several times. This is how much it moved him. Rasulullah heard the Qur'an and recited it and felt as if he himself was being addressed. And that is something we are lacking. We often feel distanced from the Qur'an. It was revealed way back then about stories and events that happened way back then. No! The Qur'an is not meant to be a story book or a history book. The Qur'an contains information of history and contains truthful stories. But it was revealed for you to take heed and to be moved by. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was moved by the Qur'an. He used to pause in his night prayer. Anytime he heard a verse in which Allah mentions mercy, he would pause and ask Allah, oh Allah, bless me with your mercy. Whenever he would hear a verse describing the punishment of Allah, he would pause and he would ask Allah, oh Allah, protect me from your anger and your punishment. That's called active reading. That's called interacting with what you are hearing and what you are reading. And that is how we are expected to recite the Qur'an on a regular basis. We are often asked the question, why am I not moved by the Qur'an? Why doesn't it affect me in any way? Perhaps it is because we are not reading it actively. We are not interacting. We are not responding. Allah in the Qur'an said, استجيبوا لربكم. Respond to your Lord. How do you respond? You respond with dua. That is your conversation with Allah. The Qur'an is Allah addressing you, and your dua, your prayer, your supplication is your conversation, your response to Allah. So ask Allah min fadlih, ask Allah from His bounties and from His gifts and His goodness. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who recite the Qur'an the way the Messenger of Allah did. I ask Allah to make us of those who recite the Qur'an by day and by night in the manner that is most pleasing to Allah. قُلُوا قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ ذَنْبٍ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Repent to Allah, for He is the most forgiving, most merciful. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وأنعم وأكرم وزد وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Can I ask everyone to please move forward and fill up any spaces? Once we are able to develop a relationship with the words of Allah the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, we will then notice the effects of that light and that shifa and that guidance. And there are so many positive effects and outcomes. Amongst them is that it will permeate our character and our manners. It will bring out the best within us from akhlaq, from good conduct and good manners and dealings with others. That is exactly what happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is why when the early pious predecessor Sa'd ibn Hisham, he asked Aisha, he said to the mother of the believers, Aisha, can you describe to me the character of Rasulullah? And she responded to him with a question, أَوَمَا تَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ. She said, don't you recite the Qur'an? He said, yes, I recite the Qur'an. She said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. Then that was his character. His dealings and his mannerisms and his behavior, his interactions, his speech was directly infused with the Qur'an. And that is why he was on a very high standing and moral standard. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. When we have that closeness with the Book of Allah, when we are reciting it with passion and with care and with concern, with enjoyment, with love, with iman, with belief and conviction, and when we do that on a regular basis, we will notice it permeate into our character and our behavior and our dealings. I will conclude with something I alluded to earlier, which was when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Ibn Mas'ud to recite the Quran to him. And just in this one hadith is a beautiful summary of everything that we have discussed. Ibn Mas'ud narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, recite to me the Quran. Ibn Mas'ud said to the Messenger of Allah, أَقْرَأُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَيْكَ أُنزِلْ. You want me to recite it to you and it's been revealed to you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, نَعَمْ إِنِّي أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَسْمَعُهُ مِنْ غَيْرِي. Yes, please, I love to hear it being recited from other than me. Ibn Mas'ud says, فَقَرَأْتُ سُورَةَ النِّسَاءِ. So I began reading from Surah An-Nisa, chapter number 4. And he read one verse after another, one page after another, until he reached a particular verse in Surah An-Nisa, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a question posed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. Allah says, how will it be on that day, on the day of judgment, when we bring a witness from every nation and every community, and we will bring you, O Muhammad, as a witness for these people, this community, this ummah, that we are blessed to be a part of. Upon hearing that verse, Rasulullah said to Ibn Mas'ud, hasbuk, he said, stop here, pause. Ibn Mas'ud looked up and he looked at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِذَا عَيْنَاهُ تَذْرِفَانِ. He said his eyes, the tears were flowing from his eyes. In this we notice several things. We notice how the Prophet loved the Qur'an, not only to recite it himself, but he loved to hear it from others. We notice how the Prophet ﷺ was patient and spent long periods of time listening to the Qur'an. Surah An-Nisa is not a short chapter. He would have been listening to dozens of verses and pages by the time he reached this ayah. We also see from this that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was pondering and reflecting over what was recited. And he was being moved, and he told Ibn Mas'ud, pause, because he was so moved and he wanted to spend more time on that verse and reflect. And we also see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried. Is crying when reciting the Qur'an positive? Yes, it is. And it's not meant to be a public spectacle. Some people cannot hold back their emotions. They may cry once in a while in front of others. And that's not a bad thing, but it should be controlled. But when you are in the privacy of your home, when you are in solitude, when you are alone, that is when you should allow your eyes to flow like a spring, which is what the eye was named after. In Arabic, the word for eye is the same word for a spring that water gushes forth. They said, why? They said, because it is natural for the eyes to shed tears. It is positive to cry. It is healthy spiritually. And no one should ever think that it's a sign of weakness. The Prophet ﷺ is the strongest man of all men created. And he cried and he cried and he especially cried when reciting the Qur'an. And when one of the Sahaba saw him crying, he said, what is this, O Messenger of Allah? Rasulullah said, هَذِهِ رَحْمَةٌ. This is mercy of Allah. So recite the Qur'an and cry and be moved by what you are reciting. Spend time and resources and energy to learn the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'ahadul Qur'an. Develop a relationship and a contract. This is not any average piece of literature. These are the words of your Creator. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from Ahlul Qur'an, the people of the Qur'an, who are the special people of Allah and those that He loves and protects. We ask Allah to show us the truth clearly as truth and to help us to follow it, and show us the falsehood clearly as falsehood and to protect us from it. رَبَّنَا أَتِينَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, bless us with the best of this life and grant us the best of the hereafter, and protect us, O Allah, from the torment of the hellfire. Before we close, there are a few remaining spots left to sponsor iftar here in the community, which takes place every Saturday. So please check in with the office if you would like to generously contribute to feeding fasting people, which carries a lot of reward. The Quran competition will take place next week, and the deadline to register is May 28th. And next Sunday, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, June 3rd, there is a very special event that is taking place, and they are calling it Fast with a Muslim. And that is a program designed and planned by the Outreach and Da'wah Committee of this masjid. May Allah bless them and reward them, as a means of inviting your family, your friends, your co-workers, especially those that are non-Muslim or new to Islam, to come and experience a day of Ramadan, a day of fasting, a day of worship with us, and then to come and break fast with us here in the masjid. It is a beautiful initiative and is a beautiful event, and I encourage all of you to participate and bring your neighbors and bring your colleagues and bring any family or friends that you might have, so that they can experience the beauty of our religion, the beauty of Ramadan, and the beauty of our community. That is Sunday, June 3rd, and you can find more details at the table in the lobby with the da'wah committee, and you can RSVP and register yourself and your guests there. And finally, after salah, please remain for a few moments. We will be addressed by our Imam, Sheikh Muhammad Faqih, who will be calling us to rise to the occasion. One of the effects of the Quran upon the Prophet ﷺ in Ramadan is that he was the most generous out of all the year in Ramadan. The Prophet would review the whole Quran with Jibreel in Ramadan, and it is not a coincidence that in Ramadan, كَانَ أَجْوَدَ مِنَ الرِّيحِ الْمُرْسَلَةِ. He was more generous than a blowing wind that would bring a lot of goodness with it. So please remain after salah and listen and participate with our Imam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Wabarik ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid.